C-Bell, that was really sweet. Ah, I really, really enjoyed that. Well, you do a great show. Thanks a lot for coming in and participating in your community radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now, without further ado,
the Kauai Earth Connection is right here, brought to you by Kauai Coffee, Qingyang Village, and Kalahale Chiropractor.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Kalahale Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalahalechiropractic.com.
And opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Oh, thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is KKCR Hanalei, KQA Kilauea, and also K224CQ Molawa'a, and also K284AL Haleiwa, Hawaii's happiest town.
And KKCR.org.
As well.
Yeah.
How about it? Streaming live throughout the world.
Live all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. So here it is, the Kauai Earth Connection, a news and commentary show. And sitting here with my favorite West Side environmentalist.
Hi, this is Gordon Lebeds, and we're going to talk about the Kauai environment today and what's happening this month or what happened this month and our opinions. Our opinions are like anybody else's. They're as good as yours or... maybe a little more informed, maybe a little less informed, but we're not having a call-in show. We always have to remind folks, even though people call in anyway.
Well, so exciting.
We only have an hour, and that's why we're not taking calls, because we want to cover a lot of stuff. A lot happened over the month, and we sort of have to rattle through some issues that we'd like to spend a whole show on, perhaps. So we're going to just jump right into it this afternoon and do what we always start with, the Surfrider Foundation's Blue Water Task Force bacteria bacteria testing. The Surfrider Foundation tests beaches all over around the island, and they test them for Enterococcus, which is a bacteria that is an indicator for human sewage exposure. And as we always say, most of the beaches are on the island are clean and healthy and nice, but there's some that stick out.
Yeah, a little over half are clean. Seems, yeah. Maybe even two-thirds.
Yeah. Yeah. Two-thirds. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. PKs, Anahola Bay, Kahalani, Rock Quarries, Waikokos, Kapa'a Beach Park, Pakalas, Kali'iwai, Salt Pond, Waimea, Kalapaki Bay, Molawa, and Waiakea Canal. Those are all relatively clean.
I am the sampler at the Pakala Bay surf break in the west side. And in 8 years of sampling, this is the second month that it's been normal. Pakala's is never normal. And it's like, I don't know. I sample in the same exact spot each time.
Maybe it finally balanced out from that giant cesspool that they had. Remember that a few years
ago?
They finally fixed it, and maybe it just finally balanced itself out.
No, I don't think so. I can't. Because they fixed that cesspool a year or 2 years ago.
Well, it probably took time to clean it. I don't know.
I don't know, but it is amazing. Pakala Bay is normal two months in a row.
It's not a trick question.
Yeah, it's a trick question.
Now the ones that are not so clean, remember, less than 10 is considered healthy. Celebrity Dove's still somewhere. I don't know where he went, but we do that all the time.
Yeah.
And some that are not so clean, remember, less than 10 is considered healthy. Willy Willy Stream, 305. Wow, you can say the next one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know where that is.
Uhelekawawa
Canal. It's 465. It's not a good place, wherever
no,
it is.
No, you don't want it to go there anyway.
You know, my guess is that's a new one that they have. I don't know where that is. But Gillen's, I know where that is. That's that little house down at Maha Aleppo.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's 480.
Which, you know, has never been normal. No. That's that area. And that's the ocean. That's the water in the ocean.
That's a surf break?
Well,
no,
it's a surf break, but not a popular one. But, yeah, it's...
Well, good, because it's 480.
480, yeah, that's not good, no.
Wainiha Stream, that's pretty high.
Pretty high.
Always surprising. 842.
Yeah.
Honolulu Stream.
Always
here we go.
Bad.
Here we go.
Bad.
Triple digits. Yeah. No, quadruple. Four digits. There we go.
Honolulu Stream.
1,081. Less than 10 is considered safe.
Yeah, bad. And Waikomo Stream, bad. Always.
1674.
Bad.
Niamalu, no surprise there.
Always
2,481.
Bad.
That's where the kids swim, right? Right there in front of Duke's?
No, no.
Oh,
no,
Niamalu. I'm sorry. That's over by the farther down.
Yeah, no, that's by racetracks there.
Niamalu? No, not Niamalu.
No, Niamalu is by the port. I don't know.
Niamalu.
It's over right there.
By the Canoe Club. Yeah, by the Canoe Club.
By the Canoe Club, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, this one, Mo'ikaha Canal, is another new one, but 3,654, not good.
But the winner,
as always, an unbelievable, oh my God, winner, off the scale winner, is the Waiopili Stream, which is the stream from Maha'ulepu that runs through Maha'ulepu and goes down to the beach. And that's the stream. It's 24,196.
What was that again?
24,000. I mean, it's just like
before cows.
Yeah. Before the dairy farm
before
has been
dairy
built.
Farm.
Yeah.
That's
shocking.
That's just unreal. 24,000,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
We got real problems in the Maha'ulepu area before the dairy farm has been built. So, wow.
Yep, shocking.
Thank you, Carl Berg, for leading the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force. Thank you for the 20-some-odd water testers that go out and rain or shine and do that. And it's a good service to our island and keeps us informed.
And if people want to check out those numbers, they can go to...
That's right, surfriderkauai.org. And just look for the Blue Water Task Force page. Or surfrider.org/Kauai, the national page, will direct you to the Kauai chapter also. Yeah.
There you go, folks.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, National Surfrider Foundation sent a fundraising letter about the importance of clean water, and they mentioned the dirty beaches on Kauai. not good.
Good. I'm glad they did, because it's not the paradise
that
we're billed as. Place. You
know. Maybe it'll keep some of those surfers away. Who knows?
For their own health.
Yeah. Okay. Gosh. So thank you again for the Surfrider Foundation water test. We want to talk about a couple state issues. And just because they're not just important to Kauai, but they're just kind of interesting issues. And one of them has been talked about ad nauseum, perhaps, in KKCR anyway.
I think it's fantastic.
But
though,
it's not getting any
Garden
play
Island
in the media.
Garden Island has yet to print a story.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's like, it's a big deal. This Mauna Kea telescope thing is, you know, you've got hundreds of activists and getting arrested and blocking traffic and la-di-da, and it's been an issue for a long, long time. And, you know, I think a lot of people are a little bit dumbfounded. Why? What's the big deal? There's already 13 telescopes up there. And, you know, I just wanted to comment on my experience on these development issues is there's a syndrome that community members get and some conservation leaders, too. I call it the last straw syndrome. And it's, God damn it. You know, we've got enough telescopes. Yeah, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to say that on the air. But
telescopes?
There are enough telescopes up there.
That is a dirty word.
Telescopes are something you shouldn't say on the air.
TMT.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I used to see that when I, 10 years ago, I used to be a leader in the Southern California environmental movement. And most people see Southern California as completely concretized, nothing to save, no wild areas at all. But you wouldn't believe how passionate people would be to save a little postage stamp wetland or a little last remnant of an oil field or whatever. And I think that's what's going on up there in Mauna Kea. Yeah, it's sacred land, but there wasn't that much of a stink when they built the first 13.
Well, there was, actually.
There was.
There was. They were only legally supposed to build one, from my understanding.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the line in the sand syndrome, you know? It's like, all right, enough. And I think that...
Well, the foundation of that telescope is going to be four stories down into the ground.
Yeah.
So they're going to be blasting. Even the land they have isn't enough. It's going to go out over the.
Yeah.
The rock area they're going to build out.
Yeah.
So, it's a big deal, I think.
I think it's a big deal. I used to be a doctor at Kaiser, and I used to work all over the islands and. I worked in Hilo for 5 months and could never see Mauna Kea from Hilo. Hilo rains all the time. And every once in a while, oh, look at that. There's a mountain up there. And you'd see snow and you'd see the damn telescopes. You know, they were ugly. And I think ugliness is an underrated environmental issue. You look at these folks who are mad about this development in Hanalei, the Hanalei Ridge. They're just mad because they're going to build these mansions along the ridge, and it's going to look ugly. And I think those telescopes are really ugly. I mean, you can see them from all the way down in Hilo.
Right, and building for science, the sake of science is not a good enough excuse. Somebody did the math and added up the total footprint of the 13 telescopes.
Oh, yeah.
And... if you take the total footprint of the 13 telescopes and double that number, that is still not the total footprint of this new telescope.
Is that right?
So
yeah.
Really, it's not...
It's a big one. Yeah.
It's not that they're building just one more. They're actually building, essentially, footprint-wise, 26 more.
It's
over 26 more, really, for the, you know, square footage.
You know, and I'm an ocean guy. I'd much rather see some research going into studying the ocean than I would studying the stars with the binoculars, big, fancy, expensive binoculars. But, you know, I'm not against science, but there is a limit. We've got so many social and environmental problems here on Earth. The amount of money they're spending up there to make the mountain look ugly doesn't work for me either. I'm with those guys. I'm with them all the way. Good luck to them. There's another state issue that I think we need to talk about, just at least to mention. And that is the Governor Ige appointments so far. He's
a twirling dervish.
Yeah. He's appointed a really pretty thoughtless appointment to the head of the DNLR, and the guy is a developer and has experience in developing. But not experience in running wild areas and wild land and conservation and natural resources and the ocean and the forests. And the environmental community just hit the roof when he did that. And to his credit, he backed down. Of course, I think the groundswell made it so that the Senate, the Hawaii Senate, wouldn't confirm the guy, which is what made him back down. But bottom line is he went all the way over to the other side of the spectrum and appointed a conservationist instead. And this woman's name is Susan Case. And Ms. Case is, I think she's Dr. Case actually, is the head of the Hawaii Nature Conservancy. And the Hawaii Nature Conservancy is the whole job is to protect nature. That's what they do. And they do it in various and sundry ways, and their whole goal is to acquire land and leave it as natural, or if it's not natural, to try to restore it. And one of the things they do to restore land is to pull out invasive plants that would take over native plants. And another thing they do is they try to get rid of animals that destroy the native vegetation. And of course, these animals are deer and pigs and sheep. Well, Ms. Case is not popular with the hunting community. They want the pigs and the sheep and the deer because they like to hunt them, and they're up in arms over this appointment, which is an interesting thing because in general hunters and conservationists tend to be on the same side of nature in most issues, but here's a place where the hunters and the conservationists are splitting areas, and also the fishermen are mad at Case because the Nature Conservancy is a strong advocate of marine protected areas. And marine protected areas can sometimes advocate closing fishing in that area for a certain mere period of time or even permanently. And the fishermen here on Kauai especially don't understand that if you close fishing areas for a while, the fish will come back and then they'll swim out of that area and then the fishermen can go catch them and kill them. But the fishermen are kind of like gun control advocates, you know. They just don't want anything to restrict what they're doing, and because they see it as a foot in the door, and they may be right, you know. I mean, the 90% of the big fish in the ocean have been killed already, and you know there's only 10% left of big fish, so. You know, when some little kid catches a big fish, it makes the front page of the Garden Island. You know, woohoo, we killed a big fish, you know, and there's hardly any left, so let's celebrate because we killed another one. And I don't know. You know where I stand. It's like I don't eat fish, and I advocate not eating fish because the ocean needs to heal. And it's a tough deal because I know most people have been brought up eating fish. And there's a lot of things that we did with impunity, with styrofoam and eating beef and driving big gas-guzzling cars and things that we just can't do anymore, not with 7.3 billion people on the earth. So anyway, that's my take on the Governor Ige's appointments. And the other thing is he appointed this guy to the water board. His name's Bill Balfour, who, again, he's not a guy that you'd want looking over our water. He's a developer, and his history has been voting against the environment on every time he's had a chance, and
he's on a water board, all right.
Yeah, it's like I don't know.
Seems like they have an agenda.
Yeah, he may get through. But it's Governor Ige so far has been not the champion of the environment.
We kind of knew that going in, right?
We did, you know, but most of us didn't like Abercrombie because he stabbed us in the back so many times. So there you have it, you know. And then we had Linda Lingle, and she was like, oh, my God.
We're still paying for that one.
Yeah. So, you know, vote, and get good people to run, and maybe we can take back this democracy someday. Who knows? All right, moving right along. We've got a crank through. We talk about pesticide use on this island, and we've had a big, big deal about buffer zones close to schools and pesticide spraying in Waimea. The people in 100 people or some, I don't know, 60, 100 people are suing DuPont for nuisance because
dust.
Of the dust and pesticide dust in their neighborhood. And well, you've got this golf course, the Prince Golf Course, that just, I don't know how, did they aerial spray it or something?
They sprayed acres and acres of this. You got the brown swath.
It's just dead. The whole area is dead. They just killed everything.
They went right around the water traps, everything. That drain in down into Anini.
It's all
like,
gone down to the ocean.
I mean, where's the responsibility on this?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, how can that be? They're concerned about me wearing a seatbelt and the safety me standing 20 feet from a door to have some tobacco, but they let that happened.
They just did it. I bet they didn't even ask anybody.
No, I'm sure they didn't because, you know,
it's their golf course.
It's always on sale.
Yeah. Earth and John seeds! Fire! Monsanto!
It's Monsanto that makes Roundup, isn't it?
Correct.
It's their product. And I don't know if they use Roundup or not, but they use some kind of poison. And it's just disgusting. So, all right, we're moving right along.
an issue near and dear to my heart, and that is seawalls. Seawalls are the things that when you build a road or a house too close to the beach and the beach starts washing away, instead of moving the house or moving the road, what people do is put a obstruction between the ocean and the object. And the obstruction is usually made out of big boulders. Sometimes it's made out of big sandbags, or sometimes it's made out of wood and rocks. And these seawalls have been known since the 1950s, when we first started building these things in droves, was that when the water hits the seawall, it bounces off of it, and the wave reflects back off the seawall, and it eats the sand in front of the beach away. So that when you build a seawall, you destroy the beach. Beach goes away when you build a seawall. Yeah, the house might be saved temporarily, or the road, but the beach is gone. Who owns the beach? The public. Who owns the private property? The condo association. So our county council just approved $1 million some odd bucks. We're cutting back on everything. We're cutting back. The people are whining about the property taxes going up and the services going down. And they just gave $1 million some odd dollars to a seawall. I mean, to a condo development, Pono Kai, to fix and shore up their seawall in front of their condo. And I mean, what can I say? You know,
go to Anahola, Aliamana Road, and see what a seawall does. In that residential along the ocean, it took the part of the road away, and there used to be a house that got, you know, it eroded the beach. Mm-hmm. And swallow the house up, the neighbor, right there, and it fell into the ocean.
That's called the end-around effect. At the end of a seawall, the erosion triples, quadruples, and the current eats the house, the area next to it. So if you have a house next to a seawall, you have to build a seawall too, or else you're going to lose all your property. And then that's called armoring the beach. Yeah. And oh, God, I forgot now. Something like a third or a half of the beaches in California are armored. And the solution is just not to build houses, roads, buildings so close to the beach. And if the ocean washes away, either put sand in front of it artificially or move the house. But to put rocks there only makes the things worse, and the public loses its beach. And it's very disappointing that the county council voted this money. But I will say this, having worked on the seawall issue for 3 decades, I can tell you that most decision makers, most politicians, don't know anything about coastal issues. They don't know about seawalls. It does make sense. Oh, it's eroding? Oh, we'll put up some rocks then. So, you know, you can't get too mad at these guys because they're not educated. But that's a lot of money to spend not being educated. And it's a really disappointment.
And yeah. It gets me. I don't forgive them for not being educated, because we have numerous examples right here on Kauai.
Yeah,
of seawalls that have destroyed the beach and property right next door. So it's like, I mean, come on, how many millions have they dumped into Kikaʻi, a small boat harbor?
Oh my God, or the Kikaha seawall along the road there
as well. Yeah. Right, that was the big issue last year.
Millions of dollars. Yeah, right my God. Yeah, it's. Well, it's up to folks like us who know about these things to educate these politicians. That's our job.
So before we go on to the next one, I want to go back to the golf course where they sprayed Roundup. I just got a phone call. I guess Carl Berg, courtesy of the Surfrider Foundation, is going to has filed a formal complaint against the company, the Princeville Golf Course, that sprayed. Whatever company that is, because he doesn't think that they pulled a permit.
You know, I bet they didn't. This is Kauai. Come on, we just do whatever we want.
And destroy, and wonder why Anini's destroyed down below. But anyway, so there's some action. Thanks a lot to the Surfrider Foundation, Carl Berg, for they filed a formal complaint against that. But then again,
it's already dead.
So what are you going to do? You're going to money that's it's not going to fix the reef. That's not going to fix the waterway. That's not going to fix our watershed. That's not going to fix the soil. You know, but. Hopefully.
Well, if we all left, that would definitely take care of it.
That would be good. Yeah, sometimes you really have to think that.
It'd just go back to the way it was.
I'm looking. Yeah,
and it wouldn't take long. It wouldn't take long.
Nah, 10 years, maybe less.
You know, over at PMRF, the Cosmic Mama always brings this up. Where right after the whole 9/11 fiasco, they closed some beach over on the base and access to that. And within 5 years, the reef came back, the fish population came back in that area. I mean, it was striking how fast it really healed itself. That's all it needs. A little bit of time.
That is a marine protected area. You know, we say we don't have any marine protected areas on the island of Kauai. Well, unofficially we do, because that whole beach is completely shut off to anybody. Even the sailors don't go there.
Oh, yeah. So, but the one thing, it has healed.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's sea life, and there's, what do they call it? Opihi, where, you know, they've been completely extirpated from everywhere else. They're growing healthily there.
Good. Because, nice. So there's a fine example.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move right along. So we did the baby beach. Yeah. You know, there's an interesting issue. The Supreme Court of Hawaii has ruled that you can't take away the public beach by planting plants on it and calling it yours, because the rule is the public owns the beach to the vegetation line and to the high water line. High water is where the wet part of the beach, but also the vegetation line is part of the public's beach too. So if a condo association or a homeowner waters his plants and they grow down on the beach, that doesn't suddenly become that person's property. It's still a public beach. And it's come to the attention of some folks over by the Baby Beach area in Poipu, by the bridge on the way to Prince Kohio condos. There's a little baby beach. It's real popular with little kiddies. Vacation rentals have watered the naupaka so much that the naupaka is now growing down onto the beach. And it came to the attention of the Surfrider Foundation at their last meeting that the Surfrider Foundation is planning to do a naupaka cleanup. You've heard of beach cleanups?
Oh, naupaka.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's public beach, so we're just going to clean the beach from things that don't belong there and trim that naupaka so that people can use the beach again. You know. Well, that's pretty cool.
That is
another feather in the cap.
All right.
Yeah.
Moving on to the endangered species rehab. This was an interesting story.
I think it's interesting in a lot of ways. The big picture is that there used to be 200 species of birds on the Hawaiian on Kauai, and then the Polynesians, the first humans came, and they knocked out 100 of them, and then the missionaries came, and they knocked out another 40. So we got less than a third of the original birds that once lived here. And we've got these folks who are really doing their level best to protect these birds and bring them back and bring them back to levels of where they were.
Well, they're actually taking them.
Can we work on the Nene right now? I mean, they're still around. They're not gone yet.
The Nene's are right down, and that's right where they sprayed the poison.
Yeah.
Right up there in Prince. Yeah, that's where the Nene's live, up there where the Prince Golf Course. Right. Great, thank you.
Oh, they're on a lot of golf courses. Yeah. They're in Lihue over there.
Right. Remember, they abducted a bunch and took them to Maui.
That's right.
I think that was the plan, $17,000 a bird or something, $11,000.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of money to protect a species. And you know, I know I can hear the argument. I can hear the people complain, but those people don't complain about the seawall at Pono Kai, but they will complain about saving an endangered bird that poops on their windshield or something like that. You know,
gets in the way of their golf ball.
Yeah,
potentially runs into an airplane. Runs into the bird.
Airplane runs into the birds. Birds were here first.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
But you know, these guys are really doing an amazing job. You got the Shearwater people that are funded by KIUC, and the Humane Society even the Navy base out there helps to save birds, endangered species birds out there. It's kind of heartbreaking that they kill owls. That's their way of saving. But anyway, yeah, I like owls too. But they have these little guys, and I think there's, I forgot the name of them now, but they have, there are only about 60 left on the whole island from the whole world, so what they've done is they've taken their eggs and sent them to the San Diego Zoo, which is interesting because, you know, a lot of people think that zoos are kind of like marine land. You know, they're just kind of an antiquated way of thinking about animals, that you lock them up in cages for human enjoyment. But zoos have become where they rehabilitate endangered species, and I think zoos are trying to find a new niche for themselves, and all power to them, because it's an important niche, and they're trying to raise these birds in the sheltered environment so they can return them to the wild. And you know, you got to say that's cool. I'm into that. You know, I think it's a lot of money, and I think it goes to the point that we're all in this together. Anytime we lose a species, we lose part of ourselves, because there's a web of life and we all depend on each other. And humans have just taken over the place. And, you know, we've got to give a little back to Mom Nature and let her heal herself, you know. And sometimes it costs money. We spend a lot of money killing it. We should spend some
we make restoring money. It. We make money killing it, right? Right.
Yeah.
Did you touch on the endangered species on their methodology of how they think they're going
to
save?
Yeah, I was on San Diego. Yeah,
yeah, that seems kind of bizarre to extraordinary rendition.
It is.
And captivity. I just had a call.
All right.
And it kind of fits.
Even though we're not taking calls.
Well, yeah. but we're not, but I want to pass this on.
Yeah.
He just had a friend visiting from Bosnia, and which is a war-torn you know, area of the world, and there's a lot of landmines, and there's a lot of landmines still there, so people obviously don't go over where the landmines are. But what they've discovered is, and it kind of goes with leaving a space alone, is that the birds have come back in droves, and it's really healed itself in Bosnia in these landmine areas. So a lot of people just go and sit on the ridge and watch the birds and bird watch now over the landmine.
I don't know if that's the answer of putting landmines on Kauai to help the habitat.
That's true.
I think that would be an extreme.
I'll tell you why.
You know, one of the big wilderness areas is the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. That nuclear fuel space up in where is it? I forgot now. Washington State or someplace. There's where they have all those cans of nuclear waste.
Oh right.
Nobody can go there, but this is a wildlife area.
Oh.
And Chernobyl. That's another one, the Chernobyl forest.
Yeah, the wolves are coming back. It's balancing itself out.
They won't last as long. They won't last as long, but they're coming back.
Yeah.
And they'll have, like, mutant powers or something. Yeah. Making stuff up.
They could.
Weird.
Weird. It is weird. All right.
I want to say this is KKCR Honolulu, a.k.a. QA Kilauea, and you're listening to the Kauai Earth Connection News and Commentary Show. We've got about 27 minutes left. And we're rolling through. So far, we've covered a lot of things. We talked about the water test. We talked about Mauna Kea Telescope, DLNR, Susan Case being appointed, the Princeville Golf Course spraying poison all over the place, and Naupaka being overwatered and growing over in Poipu, the Ponokai Seawall, and the Endangered Species Rehab. Now we're moving into burning forests for energy and logging trucks on Kauai. How scary.
All we do is give bad news on this show, but the Endangered Species Rehab was good news.
Sort of.
They're doing their best.
I don't care for their method, though.
They're doing their
best. You know?
Anything looks good as long as you pump money behind it.
Look how great this is. That's true.
I live out on the west side, and I'm watching logging trucks go down the highway. I never thought I'd see logging trucks. I saw them in Oregon. I saw them in Washington. I even saw them in California. But logging trucks
coming down from Coquay, from when they burned the forest last year.
Big trees. Big, tall.
Scary, huh?
Oh, my God, you know.
Scary.
Yeah. And I assume, I mean, the drivers are driving by real fast, but I'm assuming they're going to make wood chips out of these things to burn at that factory over in Kauai that's going to make electricity so for our hair dryers and our second third TVs and
burning forests, huh?
Yeah.
The biomass.
Yeah. Exactly. It sounds good on paper, but oh my gosh.
Eventually we'll run out of trees, you know.
Seems that
the
way.
More trees they want, the more trees they'll get.
Maybe they'll set cocaine on fire again and they'll have a burn sale.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, right.
Could have been lightning.
Could have been.
Well, you know,
like we get a lot of that around.
I wonder what that was. Yeah, there's fires up there. But I can tell you that the areas in the California desert where they
I couldn't resist.
The areas in the California desert where they built golf courses and planted trees and hibiscus and watered everything completely changed the climate of the desert out there. And I'm wondering if they chop down all the albizia trees, what's going to happen to this island? You know, we got a lot of beautiful albizia forests here.
Well, yeah. You know, it is invasive. Nobody mentions that our big problem with this albizia is grown over places because they planted them 15 odd years ago for this biomass plant, and they've just spread throughout that side of the island.
Yeah.
Cousin Rich is here. He's here early because it's Can You Dig It Jazz is coming your way in 19 minutes. I can do math.
19 minutes. All right. Well, we better get going. So for your air conditioners, your hair dryers and your iPhone chargers, we've got to burn down some forests for you.
Because we care.
Because we...
Not only that, we're going to spend $3.3 million to chop down the trees up here on Kali'iwai Bridge area. They're gonna close the road for hours on end and do the logging at night.
Yeah.
And didn't they just chop a bunch of those down like 2 years ago and spend a bazillion dollars? Now they're going to spend $3.3 million more.
You wonder.
To burn trees for your air conditioner and your hair dryer.
Yeah. Your iPhone charger.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. But just so you know that we Americans are 4% of the world's population. We use 25% of the world's energy.
Well, we deserve it, I think.
I think we could cut back before we burn forests for electricity.
Conservation.
Don't you
think? Seems like forests provide like oxygen and stuff too, right?
They do.
Don't we run on that stuff?
I like oxygen. You know?
It does good for me.
And it sequesters carbon dioxide.
Right. It makes Cousin Rich look so good.
Yeah. Forests are good.
Don't burn them. All right. So anyway, inter-island ferry legislation. Yeah. I just wanted to touch on this a little bit because it's ridiculous. As we all know, we're still paying for the last one, all the harbor improvements and the ramp to nowhere. We're still paying for that, mind you. And then we paid for the boats, and then we sold them at cost, not even cost.
Yeah.
Sold them at fire sale.
Oh, and a fire sale.
Right. So they're going to look at Inter-Island Ferry once again. They set up legislation to study it. This one they're going to do a no vehicles ferry, and they're touting part of their reasoning is, well, the farmers from the Outer Islands could bring their stuff in. I'm like, how can they do that if there's no vehicles allowed on the thing? They're going to pack their boxes of fruit on the ferry and then get there and then unpack and then rent a car and then try and go sell their wares. It doesn't make sense to me. So, again, it's a failed model.
It's a failed model. And you know what I think I mentioned this on the last show or the show before that is some guy who was doing a forum on the super ferry in Oahu called me and asked me if I would speak on it as a anti because it was a pro super ferry thing. He designed the boat. He was the designer. He was a boat architect. And he said, you know, from the very first day we knew that this was a military project. He said, because no private company throws money around the way the military does. And they just kept pouring money at this project. And even though they didn't say so, we knew it was military.
And it is now. There's one in Guam.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, there's one in Guam because the military bought it.
Okay.
And they took it to Guam.
Well, if there is going to be a super ferry, it's got to be government subsidized because it's just stupid business model. It's just not
we're too far out.
I mean, I understand transportation is subsidized. We subsidize roads, we subsidize cars, we subsidize airports. But, you know, dumb subsidies are something we shouldn't ought to do. And a super ferry clearly is not in the interest of all.
Right, right.
Anyway.
And another excuse they're using is because there's a monopoly for the airlines. It costs too much. Why don't they bust up the monopoly?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of go through that. That's that's my suggestion.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, well, we can't do a super fairy tirade.
No, I just wanted to let people know that there is legislation to study the feasibility of it. We already know the answer. They've already had two, and they both failed.
Didn't the council just give $200,000 to study the traffic?
On North Shore and South Shore, but not Kapaa.
That's right.
Well, that's pretty bizarre.
All right, so steadying things is good.
Yeah.
So we like to study.
Samples collected, because we're going to skip that one.
Okay.
Well, we were going to say we went to the Kauai Good Neighbor Pesticide Program report, but I went there and we were going to talk about it today and give numbers and stuff, but it's such a hard website to read. I mean, it's so ridiculous that go try it.
Check it out. They put that website up right when the debate on Bill 24 or whatever it was.
Yeah, 2491.
2491 was, they put that website up to inform us about pesticides. Yeah, I went on it, and it didn't inform anything.
It's
just
hard.
A bunch of numbers.
It is a bunch of numbers, and you'd have to, but they spray a lot. It's
that,
still amazing.
They spray a real lot.
You know, it's unbelievable. But we're going to, speaking of spraying, samples are being collected right now to study honey for pesticides.
Yeah.
And so far, samples have been collected from Haena and Moloa and Wailua, Kapahi, Koke'e, Kaloa, Hanama'ulu, Poipu, and we're going to get some next week from Keka'a. So we will have reports of that, of our pesticide levels inside. I think we're just studying for glyphosate.
Glyphosate.
Did I say it right?
Roundup. Glyphosate,
So
and atrazine.
And atrazine, which is being just dumped on by
atrazine is a big one.
Tons on this island.
Yeah.
Anyway, so thanks.
Now the couple, we did a few already.
Yeah.
When I say we, the environmental community did a few, and I can't remember, but I know the one over there by the cornfields was positive.
Very positive.
Yeah,
very
it
positive.
Had,
they're going to test it, so it's a little, this time around, I think, to get a little better detailed results.
Okay.
This time around.
Yeah.
It's going to be sent to Oahu to the same company, I think, that does the water quality service.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the Surfrider Foundation under Carl Berg's tutelage has been doing research on the streams for pesticides. And, I personally took 8 samples out on the west side. And, that's right. Over half the streams here have poisons in them. And guess where all the streams wind up, folks? Down at sea level. This is an issue, and we're really glad we did this research. And you know, when I say we, at this point, again, it was Carl Berg and the Surfrider Foundation did the research to, Carl reported to the, you know, that committee that the council set up to study pesticide spraying here on Kauai. Well, you know, nobody looked at it except these volunteer activist types, the Surfrider Foundation and its generous donors who help pay for these expensive tests. And thank you very much, because Carl was able to tell them what streams have poisons in them and what streams don't and where they come from and where they go. And you know, it's citizen activism like this that educates people about what needs to be done, and that's really cool. And thank you, Surfrider Foundation for that little project. A lot of cool projects. Now, the other day I was speaking at the Vegetarian Society of Hawaii, and I was talking about GMO food and. If those of you who've heard this show before know that my biggest environmental issue anywhere ever is eating beef and fish. There's nothing you can do to help the environment more than to stop eating beef and fish. But be that as it may, GMO
foods are not organic. They're sprayed with poisons, and it's a big environmental issue. As to what kind of health issue it is, it's nothing like eating beef as far as health. And that's the subject of a whole nother show, and I'm not going there. But I do want to say that I was corrected, because I said to the folks, well, look, you know, the corn that's GMO is primarily fed to cows, and well, 47% of it goes to ethanol, and 38% of it goes to feeding cows and pigs and chickens, and then the rest go for corn on the cob and stuff like that, cereals and things like that. And it was pointed out to me, yeah, but all the food is contaminated. All the DNA is spread around now, and you find DNA GMO genes in all corn. And I stand corrected. That is true, and the research is clear that it is true. So, you know, there's probably no corn on the cob that's purely hybrid and not GMO contaminated. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't eat corn on the cob. I'm sorry. Corn on the cob is a good food, and you should eat it. The corn that they make to feed cows doesn't taste good to humans. It's not sweet. And corn is mainly fed to cows and used for ethanol. And soybeans. So corn and soybeans are the main foods that are GMO foods. But it was pointed out to me that there are some others that I was not aware of. Everyone knows about Sunrise papayas. They're GMO. And canola oil is GMO. But I wasn't aware that cotton, alfalfa, sugar beets, and squash are GMO.
Squash, because it's hard to grow.
Yeah, it's like, wow, squash?
Really?
I don't know. You know, my guess is they put something in it to make it last longer to get to market, or you know, some other thing, because it can't be.
Apples are in there, too, because they've just okayed apples, GMO apples.
They just okayed it. Yeah.
They turn brown.
Yeah, yeah. So far.
This way they can sit out for hours on end without turning brown.
Apples are coated with pesticide and then coated with wax to seal it in. So if you're going to eat apples, you should only eat organic apples. Apples are very high pesticide food. But so far, the GMO apples haven't hit the market yet,
okay.
But they will.
I know they're close, because we reported on that before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we really covered a lot, and we need to announce a bunch of environmental news.
Well, one is... let's see, Gary Hoosier and two other Kauai residents are heading this coming week to share the Kauai story with the people and government of Switzerland, home of the world headquarters of Syngenta.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're attending an international conference in Switzerland sponsored by organizers who share our concern, meaning the pesticide concern, with regards to environmental and health harm caused by the actions of large chemical companies. He's going to be speaking inside the actual Syngenta shareholders meeting.
You know, and
so that's pretty exciting.
I mean, most politicians would just go which way the wind blows, and then they really go where the votes are or where the money from their supporters are. And my hats are off to Gary Hoosier. He's taken up this banner at a great political risk for him, and he's gone an extra 20 miles to educate the public about the dangers of pesticides. And you got to say, we're lucky to have politicians that are leaders and
that listen
followers.
To the people. Yeah,
that's
exciting.
Thank
right?
you, Gary Hoosier.
I totally
good
agree.
For you, man.
Okay.
All right, so we've got a bunch of meetings that we need to just spend a couple minutes on. The Hawaiian Humpback Whale Sanctuary has just put out their new management plan. They changed their name because the Hawaiian Humpback Whale Sanctuary is now called the Iwalu Kai National Marine Sanctuary, and it's not a humpback whale sanctuary anymore. And just the other day, it was announced that humpback whales are being taken off the endangered species list. That's coincidental. That has nothing to do with why they changed the name. They've changed the name because they want to become an ecosystem-based marine sanctuary. Problem is, they even though they're expanding the sanctuary here on Kauai, and they're expanding it a little bit up on the North Shore and
drawing a circle around Niihau, a mile offshore, to call that the sanctuary too. They're not putting in any protections to the marine environment. They're not doing anything to protect the ocean. So the name sanctuary is kind of a phony baloney name in my two cents. And, you know, if you want to tell them that they should do more to protect the ocean, they're having a bunch of hearings on their new management plan. And you're not going to remember this, but they're May 4th and 5th and 6th. And the May 4th one is in Kilauea. The May 5th one is in Niihau, which you can't go to. There's another one May 5th at Waimea Canyon Road at 5:30 to 8 p.m. And on May 6th, there's one at King Kamu'uili Elementary School, 5:30 to 8:30 in Honolulu. So May 4th through 6th, there's going to be a bunch of hearings on the Sanctuary Advisory Council and giving the input. And like I said, you know, I've read their management plan, and I can tell you there's nothing there to protect the ocean. It's very, very disappointing. But, you know, maybe they'll get it together eventually. Well, let's hope. Wednesday is Earth Day, April 22nd, and the Surfrider Foundation, not the Surfrider Foundation, excuse me, Malama Maha'ulepu is having a beach cleanup with the Surfrider Foundation. Yes, on Earth Day at 3 p.m. Yeah, yeah. So go ahead down to Maha'ulepu. That if you can look at the stream there with the 24,000. that just don't drink the water. Okay, and on February, April 24th, that's this Friday. This Friday at the Kapa'a Library, Koholaleo, that's Whale Voice. Koholaleo has a monthly movie on whales in the ocean on the fourth Friday of every month at the Kapa'a Library. And this month they're showing the movie at 7 p.m. called Planet Ocean, which I understand is quite good. Planet Ocean, 7 p.m. this Friday at the Kapa'a Library. And bunch of beach cleanups. Surfrider Foundation is doing a beach cleanup on April 22nd in Anahola from 4 to 6:30. I'm rattling these off. I hope I'm maybe you're writing them down. April 25th is one at Donkey Beach from 9 a.m. to 11:30. And so if here's a number you can call the Surfrider Foundation beach cleanup folks, 635-2593. Yeah, yeah. Lots of beach
cleanups.
What's
that toll-free number? I mean, local number again?
635-2593 for beach cleanup information.
Yeah, so that's a lot going on. I'm you know, no one cleans the beaches except volunteers here. So thank you all you volunteers. That's
seems like they could spend $3.3 million on paying somebody to clean the beaches.
It would seem, or maybe that traffic study could go to the beach.
No, that would be fine. It'd be you know.
I'll do the traffic study for $10,000.
And really, that's it. That's a screaming deal.
I'll take it.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, we got a couple phone calls. Talking about the amount of water it takes to produce beef.
Oh,
there's a documentary, Cowspiracy.
Oh yeah, that's showing.
Cowspiracy.com. Check it out if you're so inclined. Oh. And also, they wanted to make sure we mentioned Tim Bynum for the pesticide disclosure to. Thank you as well.
Tim Bynum
Scary.
Is a hero too. He's a hero.
Besides Scary,
you know, Cowspiracy. Go to the Malama Maha'ulepu website because they're showing that thing.
Oh, are they not?
They're showing it. I'm going to go watch it. I forgot the date. I forgot to write it down.
Might be in the community.
Oh, I'll look.
Yeah, maybe it's on the KKCR community bulletin board or something. But I understand that's a good movie. I've seen the trailers, and they interviewed leaders in all the big environmental groups and asked them why they don't take up the issue of cows. And they all kind of backpedal and hem and haw and look kind of lame. The environmental issue of cows is a big issue, and it's a hot button for the Malama Maha'ulepu and Friends of Maha'ulepu people because they want to build put 2,000 cows down there, and the streams are already very contaminated. So Yeah, so Cowspiracy, check it out. I'm sorry we don't have the date, but you probably wouldn't remember it anyway with the way we were rattling things
off.
But
at least you know about it and you know where to go. There's also a... let's see, an event to sponsored. Let's see, this Sunday, April 26th from 11 to 3 in Kapa'a, and it's a fundraiser for the Kauai bee population.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be music, and it's called a Beer and Shenanigans, Kapa'a's first benefit beer run. How's that? And all proceeds will go to the Kauai bee population. It's hosted by the Hotel Coral Reef this Sunday, April 26th, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can go to kapaabeerrun@gmail.com for more information. How's that?
Yeah, very good, very good. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And maybe we covered too much too fast, and I wish we had more positive news for the environment.
The one thing you can do is in a few days you can go to the KKCR website and go to the archive, and you can listen to this show in the archive. So check that out. Thanks a lot to our
listeners. April 22nd is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day, everybody. Make every day Earth Day.
That's right. Happy New Year for you, all you folks today that choose to use today as a new year.
420.
That's right.
All right.
The only thing that we armed with is the truth and the people, and you guys get the guns. You know? You get the guns.
One of my favorite sound bites. Thanks a lot for coming in. We'll be back in a
Ray
month.
Ray Catania, the super fairy.
I love that
Thank
guy.
Thank you, Ray.
I love
we
that
love
guy.
You.
Yeah. So, let's see. Cousin Rich, can you dig a jazz? 5 minutes away. I'm excited. He looks excited. He's a smiling young man.
He's got a handful of CDs in his hand. He's going to play them all.
All right. Thanks, X-Men. We'll listen to you tomorrow from 2 to 4. I look forward to that show. And thanks to my favorite Westside environmentalist.
This is Gordon Lebez, and thank you. Thanks for listening, and have a great month.
All right, we'll see you the next third Monday.
Third Monday.
Slow down for the nay-nay.
That's right.
Yeah, slow down for the nay-nay, and don't spray Roundup in your yard, please.
These views are expressed by us and us only.
Us and a lot of other people.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to leave you with a little Dana Lyons with the tree, so... Here you go, folks. Thanks a lot.
There's a river flowing near me. And I've watched that river change and grow for 800 years. I have lived here through the wind, the fire, and the snow. I see salmon return every summer, and I watch young owls learn to fly. I have been the grizzly, and I have heard the lone wolf's cry. I have seen great glaciers melting, and I've met lightning eye to eye, but now I hear bulldozers coming
side. And who